Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined by Dr. James Thorpe, MD. I'm going to be joined by Dr. Lee Merritt, MD. I'm going to be joined by Karen Kingston, former Pfizer employee and a walking encyclopedia on the issue of so many of the drugs and patents and what's going on. That's quite a lineup, those three. We should be joined a little bit later by pastor and attorney Dr. Andy Woods. Now, and then later tonight, about 8:30 Central, I'll be joined by Jeff Brower, who is a county commissioner of one of the biggest counties in Florida. He's doing some amazing things, and I think you'll find it very encouraging what this man is doing in making that county he's running a sanctuary for freedom. A lot of Florida is, right? But he's doing it in a way that we can use as a model for the rest of the nation. You don't want to miss my interview with him tonight. Now, why have I assembled this prestigious lineup, all three of them tonight? Karen Kingston, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. James Thorpe. Because, in February of 2020, I had a gentleman in my studio, someone that I had interviewed before several times, someone that I had brought to our Worldview Weekends in various cities. And he's very good on the topic of UFOs. He is not someone that goes, you know, over the top or anything related to that topic. He's very factual, very documented. The book he put out, I have it. I have given out copies of it. It's highly footnoted. I agree with him on that topic. In fact, I agree with him on many topics related to the issue of creation versus evolution. He and I agree that many of these weird sightings that are chasing our jets in the military are chasing them, and they're doing maneuvers that are beyond what anyone could ever understand from a natural standpoint. I agree with him that this is probably coming from the demonic realm and is probably setting up for a global spiritual deception. So I want to say up front that I've appreciated his work. However, when he was in my studio in February of 2020 and COVID was just breaking out and many Americans didn't know much about it at all, we were tracking it because I was tracking what was going on in China, he had made comments to the nature of being extremely pro-vaccine and even made a comment about, you know, I need to get the shot and why would you not? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting that. I had already done enough study and had enough guests on to know about the dangers of the MMR and that the CDC had a whistleblower that admitted that they knew that that was causing autism in children for years and hid it. Well, yesterday he was supposed to be a guest, Gary Bates, with creation.com, I think is the website, creation.com or is it .org? Creation.com. He was supposed to be a guest with Alex Newman. Alex had interviewed him several years ago as well on the topic of UFOs. I was going through the control room, and as I went through, Logan said, we were supposed to have Gary Bates on. You know him, right? I said, yeah, why is he coming on the network? I don't think he agrees with what we stand for in a lot of ways anymore. And he said, well, we just got disconnected. We tried calling him back, and he won't come on the show, and Alex has kind of been left in the lurch. I'm like, what? Yeah, he wouldn't come on after he heard Alex's monologue. Well, that led me to having an email exchange with Gary, along with Alex Newman. And then Gary pointed us to a website that they have, if you want to show the screenshot of it. And it's multiple pages. In fact, I've printed it out. Okay? This is their website, creation.com. CMI, Creation Ministries International. Vaccines and vaccination. And they are, like, really pushing this. But here's the problem. They seem to want to call anyone that disagrees with them conspiracy theorists are automatically anti-vaxxers and all kinds of things like this. Here is those pages printed out. If you guys want to come back to me, here it is all printed out, okay? Oh, because I want to keep a record of this. So I sent this to Dr. James Thorpe, OBGYN. I sent it to Dr. Lee Merritt, surgeon. I sent it to Karen Kingston and others. And they're dumbfounded at what they're reading. And then we listen to one of their podcasts. We'll play some audio clips and go through this tonight. But first, let me go to a statement by Alex Newman. Alex today felt, after having the exchange he did on email with Gary Bates of CMI, that at this point, he has no choice but to go public. I have no problem disagreeing with Gary I've even played his interviews with me on UFOs here on this show in the last year. I thought, you know what? We can agree to disagree on that. His information on UFOs and all that is so good. I'm just going to put it out there. And I played it. But this is no longer a matter of, well, he has his view, we have our view, we'll agree to disagree, and where we agree, we'll unite. That's not where we're at anymore. It seems as though it's now turned quite hostile. And now even worse, now it's, I think, bad information being put out. And I think we need to warn Americans and many Christians that we've got a problem when, whether it's Samaritan's Purse or I think Robert Jeffress or CMI, pushing these shots. Why are so many so-called Christian groups pushing these shots? Well, first, let's go to a statement put out today on his show by Alex Newman. Watch this. It's not loading to Logan's, all right? All right, it's in my email. So if I pull it up, you're saying, all right, here we go. All right, great, 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 great. So I'll just play it. It's not loading on Logan's for some reason. All right, let me pull it up then and play it because I think it's that important to set up the show with this for Alex, you know, what Alex said today. All right, so here we go. You guys ready for this? You got my computer? Here we go. Here we go.
There's been a lot of alien talk from Congress, from the administration, from the United Abominations, and from, of course, Hollyweird and the fake media. They've been really pushing this UFO agenda. And a couple years ago, maybe more than a couple years ago, I wrote an article for World Met Daily. At the time, it was the largest Christian conservative media outlet in the world. I wrote an article for them about UFOs and what was going on with these increased sightings. And one of the people I talked to was Gary Bates, and he had some interesting things to say. Well, yesterday we were going to invite him on to talk about that, and turns out he actually dropped off before we came to him, and I didn't quite figure out what was going on until later, but it turns out he was triggered by our reporting on the Canadian government's own data. We reported yesterday that over 92% of the people in Canada who are dying and who are being hospitalized with COVID, with the bioweapon, were fully vaccinated, triple vaxxed, quadruple vaxxed, whatever. And that really, really triggered him. And I couldn't understand why until afterward I did a little bit of searching. Turns out his so-called ministry has been peddling these COVID vaccines harder than I've seen anybody, except maybe the Biden regime and a few others. You see Mr. Bates right there. And you guys know me. I very, very rarely. In fact, I can't think of any time I've ever publicly criticized a Christian ministry leader. But I did reach out to Gary and sent him an email in the spirit of Matthew chapter 18, right? If you have a problem with a brother, you know, confront them about it. And so I did that. Turns out Brandon House, who's going to be addressing this later today, did the same thing. And so it says, you know, when you go, if he doesn't listen, go with another brother. So we did that. And the level of arrogance, folks, the lies, the nauseating arrogance, the incredible unchristlike behavior and statements just compelled me to have to speak out and to warn other Christians about him and this ministry. Again, he claims to like science until the data exposes his agenda. So we reported the Canadian vax data. That's what set him off. That's why he dropped off. He thought he would be legitimizing it by appearing on here. And I think, man, what kind of overinflated ego do you have to think you, who nobody's ever heard of, I mean, this is a fringe guy with a fringe ministry, very few people have ever heard of him, is going to legitimize anything. I mean, Donald Trump has been on this network. Give me a break. Legitimize what, right? So I went to their website, and it is filled with dangerous and outrageous and extremely misleading propaganda. For example, it says you need to fear the COVID 1,000 times more than you should fear the side effects of the COVID injection. Sorry, folks. First of all, the Lord has not sent us a spirit of fear. So anybody, any Christian leader who's telling you to fear, that's problematic right off the bat. Now, we have been documenting for 2 years. We've had some of the world's top doctors on this program exposing this. We've had Dr. Robert Malone, who literally invented the mRNA technology, on this program exposing it, saying people are dying in huge numbers as a result of this. We've interviewed Dr. Peter McCullough. We've interviewed Dr. Sukarit Bhakti, one of the world's top virologists and microbiologists. We've interviewed Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Lee Merritt. I've interviewed dozens of the world's leading experts on this. They've all been sounding the alarm about this injection. And so when I went to this website and I see this incredibly ridiculous propaganda, I just couldn't believe it. And I confronted Gary about this, and not only did he not repent, he doubled down. And so I feel the need to warn. Also on his web, and you know, I want to say something, one of the silly things that he says on this ridiculous giant page on vaccines, on his thing, is that the only plausible explanation for why these diseases were eradicated or almost eradicated was because of vaccines. That is absolute nonsense, folks. Trust me, I've done a lot of research on this for over a decade. And one of the things you notice, if you look at the trends, is most of these diseases were almost completely gone by the time these injections were introduced in the United States over and over again. In fact, just a couple years ago, the Associated Press, you can see the headline right there, revealed, according to World Health Organization data, most of the polio in the world today is coming from the polio vaccines. That's straight from the World Health Organization data. Here you see it on ABC Fake News. It's an Associated Press article. So, folks, this is not just problematic. This is downright wrong. And this ministry, this whatever it's called, Christian Ministry or Creation Ministries International, they need to repent. And until then, I think Christians need to be concerned. Also, if you go to his website, he rejects conspiracy theorizing. And I thought that's interesting. Psalm 2 actually is pretty clear about conspiracy theorizing. I want to read you a few things from Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Okay, the rulers, the kings of the earth, several versions actually use the word, they're conspiring against the Lord. So in my Bible, for thousands of years, kings and rulers and powerful people have been conspiring against God and conspiring against God's anointed. Anybody who rejects conspiracy theorizing, I mean, that's the equivalent of, you know, savages and barbarians who can't see patterns, right? Every criminal investigator on the planet worth his salt sits around almost all day conspiracy theorizing. So this is just absolutely shameful from this so-called ministry. It seems to be a very small fringe ministry, but I do want to warn people about it. I did offer Mr. Bates the opportunity to send over a statement that I said I would read on air for his reasons for not coming on. He declined to send that. But later today, folks, Brandon Howes is going to be having some doctors on his show to debunk this outrageous misinformation being peddled by this ministry on the COVID injection.
So there you go. All right. Well, that's very important to lay out. So now this is why we're here, folks. I don't like doing this, but I am very concerned about. Well, the Apostle Paul says, beware of those men who have risen from within. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Be aware of those men who have risen from within to draw away the disciples after themselves. We also know that so many groups today are doing the bidding for the World Economic Forum, the globalists, the internationalists, the statist. Now, I don't know who these guys are doing a bidding for. Maybe. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're just ignorant. But what they're saying, whether they know it or not, is they are helping to be useful idiots for the, well, the globalists, the World Economic Forum, the big pharma. Whether they intend to do that or not, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt they're not trying to do that, but their ignorance is doing that. I wrote a book years ago called Religious Trojan Horse. Another one, The Coming Religious Reich. And then another one, Marxianity. So I've been writing about the dangers of the globalist, the Marxist, the Islamist, co-opting evangelical Christianity for years. I've been warning about this, decades. I had two people in my home back in 2018. One of them, a former CIA analyst, one a former CIA operations officer. Both of them at my dinner table, one on my left, one on my right. Neither one of them would you describe as a Bible-thumping evangelical. No, not at all. Not at all. That's not who they would describe themselves as. They appreciate evangelicals and the stand that they take on so many important and vital issues, national security, whatnot, but they themselves would not be described as that at all. And as I gave them a copy of my book, Marxianity, and we talked about what was happening in America in 2018 and the state of modern-day Christianity in America, both of these former CIA, one a CIA analyst, one a former CIA operations officer, said they believe from their work the last line of defense in America are the evangelical Christians. That's the last group that the Islamists and the Marxists need to penetrate, to have penetrated all the power centers in America. And they urge me to keep speaking up about this as someone who was born and raised inside a very conservative evangelical family and history and heritage. I know the evangelical movement. I was dragged, thankfully, to many conferences. And many of the people that I grew up listening to, I later ended up having and hiring as my speakers to travel and speak at my conferences. But I first heard them when I was 10, 11, 12. So I was raised in the evangelical movement. And I know the evangelical movement, what it used to be and what it is today. The evangelical church as we know it, or movement as we know it, institution as we know it, is like the Titanic. It has sunk. I'm sad to say it's been so penetrated that it's over for the evangelical institutions in America that we know. That doesn't mean it's over for the church. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It's not over for us Christians. But many of the institutions that our colleges, our seminaries, our radio networks, our associations, our denominations, they have been absolutely penetrated, and they've taken government money to resettle immigrants in America through the Obama administration originally. And now we find out the Biden regime gave something like $1 billion to different outlets to push the COVID shots. Sadly, many of the groups taking the money are so-called evangelical or faith-based conservative, so-called conservative Christian organizations. And those that haven't taken the money, many of them have picked up on the narrative out of ignorance, apparently. So we are seriously concerned and want to warn people. And joining me tonight to get to the facts and deal with the facts and the science and the medical facts are three people. MD, OBGYN, Dr. James Thorpe, surgeon, Dr. Lee Merritt, and former Pfizer employee and an expert on patents and so many things related to this topic, Karen Kingston. Folks, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, let's go to you first, Dr. Thorpe. You watched, I sent to all of you some audio. We're going to play some audio. I want to get first of you around the horn. What did you think initially, just an overview before we get into the specific details and bullet points, what did you think of this website that they've put out, this Christian ministry, pages and pages and pages, and of course they don't want to get into conspiracy theories or promote it, and in the emails that Gary was sending us, a lot of talk about right wing and just really coming down hard on us and you guys.
Thank you for having me on, Brandon. First, I want to say that vaccines demonstrably save lives is the recurrent theme that the Pastor Bates kept reiterating. That couldn't be any further than the truth. That is, I hope to God he's ignorant. And he's not doing this purposefully for the quid pro quo of the COVID-19 coalition course that offered all of these NGOs, including churches, including the boards, not hundreds of millions, but tens of billions of dollars to push this deadly fake narrative. Right now, as it stands, you know, I'm a VAERS expert. I published extensively on it. I know how to analyze it. I'm in the process of publishing a new manuscript, but right now I can tell you that in the VAERS system, there's 13,800 deaths in the United States of America. That probably represents 1%. So it's probably 1.3 million dead from the vaccine. Globally, there's 29,790 dead associated from the vaccine. That equates into 29 million. Now, he's talking about 500,000 people dead in the United States of America from COVID. It's from COVID because his narrative and the narrative of the, what I call, like to refer to, disaster capitalism, COVID-19, their narrative would prevent it early treatment, which is now proven would have saved 95% of those 500,000 Americans who died from COVID. That's science. The science is in. I would ask the pastor, Bates, and his two doctors, if he were truly fair, please have me come on. Please have me come on to his church, to his podcast, and let's do a collegial debate.
We'll host a debate here. We'll host a collegial, kind, gentlemanly debate right here live, so it can't be edited.
Let's do it. And I have challenged everybody else in the world, including the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, to debate me publicly in the Senate with Ron Johnson. Nobody will debate me. Why? They know I'm right. I deal with facts.
Let's go to the next doctor. Dr. Lee Merritt, please comment.
Well, yeah, thank you. And, you know, he's exactly right. But this isn't about ignorance. I'm not buying that for one second, and neither should you. I was on a show recently with a very nice, it was an international podcast, and it was a really wonderful young guy who's an orthopedic spinal surgeon like me, although I'm retired. But he's from Mexico. And he was just almost in tears because he was telling how he'd gone to the government with a group of doctors with all the data about children and the risk benefit, which there is no benefit you can demonstrate for vaccinating children, and all the risks. And he was just in tears because he said they didn't listen. They didn't seem to care. And I said, whoa. And then he starts to tell me all the data. He's gonna beat me, you know, with data to try and convince me. I said, you don't understand. This isn't about the data. This isn't about, actually, it's not about right versus left. This is about right versus wrong. And quite frankly, we're not dealing with people that care about our children. You know, one of the things I will say, and I'm going to admit that most of my life was not spent reading the Bible. It was spent reading medical journals. But I can tell you that early on, I noticed that there were just a lot of Christians that could quote all the parts of the Bible. But they didn't recognize the devil wanting to murder your children in the street. And I think many of them still don't. But this guy, I don't think you can claim it's ignorance. We're up against, again, they don't want us to think about conspiracies. You know, conspiracy theorist is just somebody that, like you said, has pattern recognition. Quite frankly, how can you explain this if it's not ignorance? Well, it's that there's a category, there's several categories of people. And I'm sorry, I don't know him from Adam, and this is not a personal thing. This is a generalization I'm making. That either you're part of the cabal, the really bad guys that are doing this, that really want depopulation, this is a child sacrifice, that want to do that. There are groups out of there do that. And if you're Christians and don't realize that, if we on the other side don't realize how evil this really is, we're not going to win. But the other possibility is you're either being bought or you're being threatened. And I will just say that there's a lot of people in this that are popping up these days that are bought. And one of the things I noticed about his website and the podcast you sent me is, for a little known ministry, you know, kind of off in the boonies, this is very slick. And one of the ways you can find somebody that's infiltrating your movement, whether we're talking about doctors or, you know, scientists or whatever, you know, school principals, the people that are going to use their position to diffuse and hide knowledge and not tell us the truth, they tend to be young, good-looking guys who are very charismatic. And suddenly they pop out of nowhere like, you know, Buddha from the lotus, and they're very well suddenly funded. And if they don't, even if they don't on paper look good funded, they got really, I mean, I know what it is to run a website. I know what it is to do things. There's a lot of money being put behind him, and that site is expensive. And you know, it just doesn't go along with just this. I'm on podcasts with Christian ministers all over the country. It just doesn't quite ring true. Mm. So I suspect you're dealing with someone that is part of the takedown. Now, another category is you're being threatened. And I do think there are people, doctors among us, who some of them are probably being threatened, and they can't say what they want to say because they took the money and now they're being threatened. But I don't think that's what you're seeing here. And I'm just going to say, because at this point, as was just mentioned, if you don't believe the bad outcome, that there is no, that you should not be, I mean, especially for a Christian minister, but anybody, doctors, I am just disgusted about my own profession, and I'm not OBGYN, but when an orthopedic spine surgeon could figure out, looking at the emergency use authorization that was published the day before, the day of the release of the Pfizer vaccine, that they hadn't tested it on pregnant women, you can see from that document, and if you had the minimum understanding of reading any kind of scientific paper, you can at least see they had a very select group of people they tested these agents on, and they weren't pregnant women. So anybody out there saying it's safe and effective for pregnant women was lying through their teeth or completely deluding themselves. Absolutely. And I think we just have to start calling this, you know, a spade a spade, because you can beat them over the head with data. They don't care. And I'll, and here's a little creepy point to make my point, and then I'll be quiet. But the point is, one of the things I really noticed, I just gave a talk on the dark occult and the great DNA war against humanity. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I've been doing this really deep dive on the DNA, following the DNA war. But let me just tell you, when was the first time that, when did the FDA authorize the, now they didn't authorize a vaccine, they authorized experimenting on our children. And by the way, there were 17 guys that were the advisors to the FDA, and not one of them stood up and stood for the children, not one person. So on the date of October 29th, they authorized this children to be experimented on age 5 to 11. And then the other date was June 21st. That's when they just authorized children down to 6 months to age 5 to be experimented upon. And by the way, they're already injecting 2 months olds. We've seen the deaths. So what's important about those dates? And again, you don't have to believe it. I mean, this is what they believe. There's a group of people, those are their high holy days. Those are the holy, high holy days of the, quote, old religion, what we call Satanism, what we think of Satanism, but they think of this the old religion that dates way back to Sumer. And quite frankly, this is a child sacrifice. Wow. And that's why it's so shocking that we've got Christian ministers out there, not only, you know, being, it's one thing early on for them to not know, I get it. But I don't get it now, and we'd better stand up and tell it like it is, and not, you know, not pull our punches at this point.
Two thumbs up from Dr. Thorpe. How about you, Karen? Weigh in on this, and then we're going to go to some audio clips of them, so that people, we're just going to play the clips. You can hear it. What are your first initial thoughts, Karen?
Well, when I read the article and listened to the audio, I mean, we think of what Alex was saying. The Apostle Paul, if you go to 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It was like listening to a bunch of teenagers or college students just justifying themselves because of ego, you know, and so it was very frustrating to read through that. And I just want to make 2 points to validate both what Dr. Thorpe and Dr. Merritt said. So in regards to over the 13,000 deaths that are of Americans and 29,000 total in VAERS so far from the COVID-19 injections, everyone cites this Harvard study that was done in 2009, 2010. What they don't realize is that was part of HHS. It was part of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And what it stated verbatim is that adverse events from drugs and vaccines are common but underreported. Likewise, fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. And the point was they needed to set up a digital infrastructure so that within 30 days of an individual being vaccinated through the electronic healthcare system, it would automatically be fed up to HHS. And then a physician would get a message saying this person that you vaccinated experienced a heart attack, experienced a high fever, experienced paralysis, experienced neurological disorders. Such as autism, so then that they could automate and report into HHS that could potentially be an adverse event from the vaccines. Here's the thing. I know from the October 22nd, 2020 meeting with the FDA, this infrastructure has been set up. They just never pushed the go button to notify the doctors of all the adverse events. And ironically, in June of this year, the CDC said, hey, we have a glitch in our system and we're behind on reporting deaths in America. And it's going to take a few months for us to fix the glitch. Wow. There is no glitch. They know these vaccines are murdering people. And those deaths, you know, Dr. Thorpe is right, is well over 1 million people. And we know that from the increased deaths of our working class Americans, 18 to 64, specifically 18 to 45 years of age. And then on top of that, what Dr. Lee Merritt was saying in regards to the risk to pregnant women, not only is there risk to pregnant women, there is risk to men and women of childbearing age. If you don't believe me, this is the initial new drug application. And the exclusion criteria for men are men who were donating sperm. You could not participate in the Pfizer study, according to their initial new drug application. And men had to abstain from heterosexual sex unless they used two forms of contraception. Women had to be excluded if they were women of childbearing potential. That means they were able to become pregnant And being on birth control was not enough. You had to use at least two or more forms of contraception. So they excluded these women. Under any normal initial new drug application, which the Pfizer product went through, you would stop a phase one trial, less than 30 patients, if human subjects are exposed to unreasonable significant risk, illness, or injury. And this includes a drug intended to treat both genders, men and women with reproductive potential who have the disease or condition. They cannot be excluded from eligibility of the study because of risk or potential affecting reproductive organs. So the phrase women with reproductive potential does not mean a life-threatening illness. So if men and women of reproductive potential, if they're excluded from a phase one trial, then that trial cannot move forward. If there's risk to, again, their ability to reproduce. And this includes studies evaluating the excretion of a drug in semen. We know now that the spike protein is excreted in semen of people that were injected. I happen to know from a study of, I think it's 19 patients, I have it right here, out of Wuhan, that when the patients were originally infected with COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, it was not excreted in semen. It's only excreted through the virus. The same thing with the women's breast milk. So one woman who within 24 hours of getting her second dose of Pfizer, her 5-month-old baby boy after breastfeeding him died from blood clots throughout his tiny little body because he was poisoned with the spike protein and died from thrombosis and thrombocytopenia. So anyway, I know I talked really fast, but I just want to back up what both the doctors had said. And this should have been stopped during phase one. This should have never gone past the phase one trials. They also should have done the shedding studies during the phase one trials, which are quarantine studies to stop people from exposing to other people. We now have over 200 million Americans injected, shedding on other Americans. We have quite a mess on our hands, Brannon.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to the first audio clip for them to respond to. You guys ready for this? Here we go, Reagan. Here's the first clip. This is, you want to show the screen. This is from this group.
I hate to think.
This is from this group, creation.com. And again, we're warning, this is to us dangerous when so-called Christian ministries are talking like this and putting out the information they are. And they're welcome to come on here. We'll have a very friendly debate, but I don't think they're willing to debate these folks. But let's see what they say next week. Here's the first clip.
So some people have claimed, and I actually don't.
Are you guys getting that or not?
I dealt with this in an email just the other day that thousands have died from vaccinations, Rob. I mean, I just don't believe that's true whatsoever.
Well, thousands of people die every day. And thousands of people die after getting vaccinations if you add up the numbers over a long period of time. But if you just look at how many people die per day, there's no difference between the people that get vaccinated and the people that aren't get vaccinated. Car accidents, cancer, whatever still happen. There's no correlation between vaccination rates and death rates.
And in fact, we were sharing, I think, a study in Denmark of over half.
Let's stop there. They're saying this stuff goes to a gold standard. And does someone want to quote his last phrase, Dr. Thorpe? You want to quote his last phrase?
Yeah, his last was vaccines demonstrably save lives. It's the absolute opposite. Let's talk about some real numbers here, some real life experience. I've lived and breathed this stuff since I was 22 years old and going to medical school. In medical school in 1976, I was a second year medical student. There were 26 deaths from the swine flu vaccine. It was immediately removed from
And by the way, anyone doubting that, all they got to do is go to YouTube, type in Mike Wallace in 60 Minutes, and Mike Wallace did a whole thing on it, interviewing a lady that was injured and had to wear braces the rest of her life. And, you know, if you go back and watch that from 1976, 1977, whenever that piece aired, it's like deja vu because it sounds like today, but we had a media then that was actually being a watchdog, Dr. Thorpe.
I beg you, my patients, pregnant moms, I beg you, do not take the vaccine in pregnancy. Do not take it. Ban the poison. I call for a worldwide moratorium. This church and the rest of the churches that are all over the country, they're dead wrong. This is called spiritual abuse. Let's talk about facts. Okay? PHMPT.org. The Pfizer, if you're going to throw VAERS out the window, You got to throw 25 other independent studies, epidemiological studies, that contradict this cast of characters, saying that it doesn't exist and deaths don't exist. That's absolutely wrong. In the phmpt.org, go to Pfizer 5.3.6 post-marketing data. This was held secret from you. Now, you pastors and you doctors, okay, you go to that and let's talk about that, because this is your April Fool's joke from Pfizer. On April 1st, Pfizer finally released that document after being threatened from a federal judge because Pfizer didn't want to release it for 75 days, okay?
75 years.
75 years, yeah. I'm sorry. That's right, I stand corrected. So in what happened was that that data, as of just the first 90 days, go to it, pull it up. On page 7, it's table 1, there were 1,223. Let that sink in, okay? Because that was more than 26 deaths. That vaccine was deadly. They knew it was deadly. And in that same document on page 12, it's, they weren't supposed to be practicing on pregnant women and experimenting, but they were. There were 274 pregnant women in there. And 45% of them that got the vaccine had complications. And then they have the audacity to publish in their flagship Journal of Irreproducible Results, the New England Journal of Medicine, which is owned by the cartel, a Shimabukuro article 1 year ago saying it's safe in pregnancy.
Well, you're an OBGYN. You see thousands of patients a year. What are you seeing? These guys can sit in a studio just like I can and talk. You've seen it.
I see 8,000 high-risk pregnancy ultrasounds a year. 8,000. Ask my wife. And I do research and write 24/7 pretty much, except for a few hours of sleep, because I'm obsessed with watching all my women, pregnant women, young women, and my children die. And it's becoming very difficult. So this should have been pulled off the market. The CDC and the FDA are in collusion.
What kind of injuries? They claim they're downplaying injuries. What kind of vaccine injuries have you seen in the women and the babies born and in the womb?
Okay, I'll show you from this is going to be published shortly. Massive increase in miscarriage. Massive increase in fetal malformations. I've compared these
and all vaccinated. Some. All these moms are vaccinated, right?
These are all vaccine, and they're compared with the influenza vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I push vaccines my whole life. I'm sorry to say. I'm embarrassed, but I did an academic metanoia, okay? I looked at the data. I put on my crown of an academician, which is what? Saying, hey, I'm wrong. I was dead wrong. I'm really sorry. I'm going to do an about face, which I did. So there's absolutely no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt that this drug should have been pulled off the market in January. By February 28th, all the feds had this. I will tell you, pastors, doctors, do your metanoia. Go to that document, and then let's talk collegially, because you're going to be in trouble. I would urge parishioners of this church to sue this staff and sue this church, and I'll help you out. Sue them if you had a vaccine injury, because they deserve to be sued.
And just to clarify, I don't know that they're licensed as a church, but I do know they are a Christian ministry.
If you were unduly influenced by your physician or your pastor and you had a vaccine injury, sue them, and I will be an expert witness for you.
Let's go to the next
clip.
This
is serious business.
Absolutely.
I just want to say one thing, too, on that. Any of these churches that are not speaking out against the vaccine but have the audacity to say that they are pro-life or hypocrite. Yeah. Because the vaccines have upwards of an 80% miscarriage and spontaneous abortion rate for pregnant women. It's higher than, the abortion pill.
Yeah, but is the OBG, in the room, is she right? Thorpe, is she right?
Yes, the way that the sham Shimabukuro article was published in the flagship Journal of Irreproducible Results, the New England Journal of Medicine, yeah, it was completely... At best, it was an error, but there were 21 authors on there. They were all political operatives, all paid by the government. Three of them were OBs, and you don't miss a simple calculation of miscarriage if you're an OB. I'm sorry you don't do it. So I don't believe this was a mistake.
Wow. Okay, for the sake of time, let's go to the next clip. Here we go. Guys, make sure I can hear it in my ear. And if you guys can't hear it, make sure you tell me. Okay, here we go.
And, a lot of people say, and particularly in the COVID environment, we've got new vaccines out, and some people would say, well, we don't know the long-term effects of these. The thing we should realize is that every medicine, every drug that comes to market has to go through what I would call a gold standard of testing and trials and so on. All those medicines and drugs are being kind of adhered to, and it's true with anything that we take. We don't know what necessarily the long-term effects, but that's called an appeal to ignorance, because you can say that about absolutely anything that we eat, the tea, the coffee, anything that comes to market.
Every new medical advance ever.
And I want to point out too, because another criticism is that, healthy living and taking vitamins and supplements, which I take, I'm all for them, will help us fight these diseases. Well, we said at the beginning that we live in a cursed world, so they're not necessarily always going to prevent these terrible diseases that we have. But it says something interesting. The supplement market is absolutely massive, and it's sold as food, and they can make a lot of claims like, hey, take this to stop hair loss, or take this to prevent cancer or whatever. And because it's sold as food, they don't have to be careful
with such claims, and people get in trouble for false advertising, but they have a lot more leeway than Big Pharma does as far as their claims.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. I've taken fish.
All right. So first of all, he talks about this great gold standard. Dr. Lee Merritt, this great gold standard. Then they want to throw in supplements here. But address the first one, this great gold standard before a drug or a vaccine can get on the market.
Well, yeah. And this is just part of the word magic that these guys are using to convince you of things that simply aren't true. I mean, there was no long-term testing on this. The closest came to the, and you guys know about this more than I do probably, but there was in 2015 when the FDA put out its circular to its researchers in genetic. They were looking at these things. Keep in mind, these weren't developed to be, quote, vaccines. They were developed as genetic and oncolytic therapy, in other words, cancer therapy. And they knew back then there was a problem. They had a problem with shedding. And they wrote a letter to a circular to all their researchers saying, hey, you shouldn't have your experimental group around any pregnant women, around any women of childbearing age, and they're shedding something. We don't know what it is. Oh, it's some kind of, it might be a virus. It might be a genetic thing, and it might be some recombinant. We don't know. Isn't that comforting? And they never sorted that out before all this. So that's the level. There's no gold standard here. But I do want to say something about the other arguments that they're using, because I've made a kind of an informal study of this. I mean, And if you've ever heard Max Kaiser on economics, this is a takeoff on Max Kaiser. He talks about things being wrong due to crapification and complexification. Well, this is fractionalization, okay? Because I see this everywhere, and it's always the same argument. If you do any medicine, somebody dies. There's always somebody that dies of a vaccine. But what you do is you show them, you say, there are so many soccer players dead in Europe. It's the equivalent of 10, probably up to 11 now, professional soccer teams dead. Now, that alone, we've never seen anything like that. But they always say, well, that's just a small number of people given the big thing. Then you say, well, wait a minute. The infant death rate in Scotland has doubled. Well, no, but that's one little data point. And you can keep going to data points and data points until you're 10 miles down the road. And they always fractionalize it. A really classic one, and I have this discussion with a family member who's a newly minted surgeon. I won't mention any names, but anyway, it's about the ivermectin. And if you go to ivmmeta.com, it's a website, and it's an ongoing study of trials of ivermectin. And they show this ongoing graph. And they show that the lines above are green, they're green bars, and those are all the tests that show benefit of ivermectin to prevent death, right? To prevent people from going to the hospital and preventing death. And the taller the bar, the better it works in those studies. Now, the bottom line is if it goes down, there's a little red bar going down. And those are the studies that didn't show a positive result, didn't show good result. And they're mostly very short bars, but occasionally you had a couple long bars. So if you look at that whole graph, the whole thing, I mean, it's just a huge green mass of bars, right? With a few red ones in there. And they did a meta-analysis that does statistical, of probability. And they said on probability, this could be a random occurrence. It's one in a billion. In other words, the chance of their conclusion that it works is not being true is one in a billion. It works. And yet when you show people in academic medicine that information, here's what they do. They pick apart each bar and they tell you what's wrong with that study and what's wrong with this study and what's wrong. They never, in law, we do, I'm not a lawyer, but in law, what they do is there's called the preponderance of evidence. They take a step back, they look at everything that's going on, and they also ascribe motive. We're not looking at the motive to lie. And I would say these guys have some motive. We don't know, but I suspect. But we know that there's a lot of motive out there to lie, not to mention the huge amounts of money that are being, as you pointed out early on, being splashed around all over the place. And who knows who's a beneficiary of that. But there is no way that anybody that is not being coerced somehow or is truly on the wrong side of good is saying these things.
All right, let's go to our next clip. Here we go.
I know, on the fact that, you know, baby has a few vaccine shots.
Well, I mean, there's no way. The amount of antigen exposed when the babies are born is far exceeds the number of all the vaccines combined. In fact, even grazing your knee, the immune system is going to work harder than all the vaccines combined that you get. In fact, you could have about 1,000 shots and still basically use only 1% of your immune system. That's how good our God has designed our immune system, that even 1,000 vaccines would not overload it. We don't even begin to overload it.
So why does the virus?
Who wants to go with that one? Okay, Dr. Thorpe, go ahead. I think you're muted. I think you're muted. Unmute yourself. Okay, you're good now.
Pastors and doctors, let me educate you spiritually and medically. Okay, you're right. God created the human being, the most incredible creation in his own image. We don't need the dirty pharmaceutical drugs that are killing people. We can do everything in your body, can heal itself with every single gene and creation of our organ system, our immunological system that God gave us. That's all we need. You are putting your faith in man and in big pharma and not in God.
Exactly.
There's no way that you can give informed consent, pastors and doctors, my 90% of physician colleagues. You are breaking the law. You are not giving informed consent. And if you say you are, you're lying, because there is no way you can give informed consent if, number one, you have no idea what's in the vaccine and you don't. Trust me, I've been trying to get it for 2 years. And number two, Janet Woodcock, FDA, and CDC, Rochelle Walensky, tell you that they're not being transparent. They still don't admit that there were 1,223 deaths in the first 90 days of Roe. They won't admit it. So there's zero chance you're giving informed consent. And that's why I say, doctors, do an academic metanoia, admit you're wrong, and let's look at the data again and make a public statement. Otherwise, the American people are coming after you.
And by the way, metanoia is the original Greek word for repentance, right, Dr. Thorpe?
Yes.
All right. Were you wanting to jump in here, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, he said a child can withstand 1,000 vaccines more than a knee scrape. That is the most moronic, irresponsible, reckless statement I have ever heard from a human being in my life. And this person has never looked at any data. If you look at the 6-month-old, the 4-year-old data, there were over 4,000 children enrolled. More than 3,000 dropped out and didn't make it to the end of the study, meaning post-dose 3. If you take a look at the babies between the ages of 6 months and 2 years, yes, these are babies. There was no placebo group. The group that was originally the placebo group ended up getting injected. Of the 344 babies, only 3 babies made it to the follow-up visit post-dose 3. So from 344, only 3 babies, that means 341, 99% withdrew from the study. And the reasons for withdrawal could be that they were unable to show up due to hospitalization, disease, disabilities, or death. So do not tell me that a child can withstand 1,000 vaccines. These babies can barely withstand one. And in that same trial for the 6-month to 4-year-olds, there was about 12 children that suffered from seizures and high fever that resulted in brain swelling and epileptitis, which is more than 6 seizures a day and permanent brain damage. These men are reckless. They are not speaking of our God, our Father. They are speaking in their father's tongue, which is that of the enemy, of the devil and Satan. And I say that because this is a demonic plan to destroy America, a nation founded under God, and to destroy God's children. And if they don't read the data, they should keep quiet and stop preaching to their congregation.
Well, if they're so bold about it, they should come on here and have no problem coming on here live to debate you guys. Do you bring their three and they'll bring with you three and their three? We'll have a great debate, but I don't think they'll do it. Look at their website. They say that Johnson & Johnson announced on the 29th of January, 2021, that its AD26.COV2.S vaccine was 66% effective in one dose regime, but it's even better than that number suggests. Around the world, it had an 85% efficacy in preventing hospitalization and death in the vaccinated trial group of the trial after 28 days and 49 days. There were no cases of hospitalization or death among the vaccinated. This has several advantages over the mRNA vaccines. It is more stable and it needs only one dose. It also has fewer side effects. This vaccine group in the trial had fewer fevers than those in the placebo group. Once approved, the vaccine, it goes on from there. So they seem to be pushing this thing nonstop. Then they go on to talk about mRNA vaccines. And they go on to say something in here. Did any of you guys pick it up? They go on to say that the mRNA, the people that are talking about the mRNA vaccines and that they're doing something to our DNA, they really scoffed at the idea that it was doing something to the DNA. Did any of you find that in this 70-some-odd pages?
Yeah, they're just lying. I mean, it's not, they never read any of the data. Right. We know, the Switzerland study shows that ex vivo in liver, outside the body, in liver cells, that it hijacks the nucleus, and through reverse transcriptase, it hijacks the DNA. Furthermore, Agilent Technologies just put out a white paper. Agilent is one of the larger companies in next generation sequencing under genomics, talking about how mRNA is a new revolution through transcription to treat diseases. Transcription is a gene editing process. It's a genetic editing process. That is what it is. None of these people are reading anything.
Did any of you guys else, he said, here we go. Specifically, the Moderna and Pfizer Pfizer RNA vaccines claimed to be 90% effective are made by the following steps. They insert a DNA plasmid that codes for the viral spike protein, etc. Did any of you guys find in here where they're saying that we're wrong when we say it's changing the DNA of people? Or maybe he said that to us in our private emails, or I don't know if they're private, but he sent to our emails. Did any of you see that where they were kind of poo-pooing the fact that we claim that the RNA can change your DNA? Did anyone see that? Did you see that, Dr. Thorpe, in the writings?
I did.
But, you know, it doesn't really – I mean, what – this is one of the – you know, there's several ways that you hide things from people. And one of them is that you make people afraid of being laughed at, and that's all they're doing. This isn't based in reality. They didn't read one thing. You know, that's what Karen just said. They didn't read any data. I mean, again – I always drop back and say, you know, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. This isn't what I grew up with. I didn't pay attention. Although I have to say, having you mentioned 1976, you were a sophomore. I was a freshman in 1976. And I remember this, my pediatric professor at Rochester said that he thought when he was talking about vaccines, this is the comment he made. He said, oh, vaccines didn't cure childhood diseases. Plumbers did. And his point was that it was better sanitation and better nutrition. And so this is a major, you know, University of Rochester, major teaching and research center. And this guy essentially was telling us he thought at that time in 1976 that vaccines were going to come and go. It was a flash in the pan. Nobody would believe this stuff. Boy, was that, boy, was that wrong.
How about this one? Respond to this one, Dr. Lee Merritt. Some anti-vaxxers, this is from their website, creation.com. Some anti-vaxxers try to get around the information above by claiming that there is a difference between ingesting food, ingesting as food or drink and injecting into the bloodstream. A few problems with that. Vaccines are not injected in the bloodstream. Rather, most are intramuscular. This is necessary to bypass the anatomical barriers of the innate immune system so that the adaptive immune system can be trained by the vaccine. I mean, are they trying to tell us that this just stays in the shoulder muscle, as we've been told, when we know it's now getting into the bloodstream? What are they trying to say here?
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to convince you of, but it's just nonsense. And besides the Japanese study that shows this thing concentrates more 64 times in the ovary versus the skeletal muscle, You know, if anybody early on, before they wiped the internet, I admit this is a little harder to find now. Novavax makes the Matrix-M coding for this. Matrix-M, don't you love it? The names of these things. But anyway, so you got the genetic BioNTech bullet, for lack of a better word, on the inside, and you've got the coding made by Novavax. And they, and again, these were made for genetic and oncolytic therapies. Novavax was bragging how this is targetable. And if you think about it, you can't have a gene therapy that's not targetable, or a cancer therapy. You don't want this to drop in the liver when you're going to treat brain cancer. So they know it's, they, anybody that looked at the basic science on this stuff way back could have found this out. So they're just spouting nonsense. I mean, you know, they're just, it's this again, these guys are not here to tell you the truth, and I think they know it. They are a mouthpiece for either because they truly believe in the evil, they themselves might worship Moloch, I don't know, but either they really believe in this evil, or they're just a mouthpiece for somebody. I don't know.
Look
but
at this.
It doesn't make sense otherwise.
I want to say another thing about what Dr. Lee Merritt said, which is in their own document, they say that they made the mRNA coded to look like a fat globule. That's what they call it. They made it look like cholesterol. So they use the Matrix technology to put a biomarker on it. Then they used Arbutus and Acuitas technology, which is a phospholipid, an ionized lipid, a polyethylene glycol lipid, and cholesterol, because our body looks like cholesterol, so that our body would pick it up and circulate it in the blood. And they confessed
everywhere
to it in their email that they made it look like fat, which is cholesterol, because our blood loves cholesterol, and to circulate it. So they actually contradict themselves if they actually thought about the words they were saying. Just saying.
Wow. Wow. Look at this. Here it is. I found it. it says, for more information on this new type of vaccine, see RNA vaccines, harnessing God's design to help prevent sickness. But will the new vaccine technology alter our DNA? Question mark. Okay, creation.com says, note also, while spike proteins can be quite damaging by themselves, the ones induced by the vaccine stay attached to the cell thanks to the transmembrane anchor. True or false? True or false?
False.
Yeah, not even close.
They're not floating around in the blood. They say they're not floating around the bloodstream. Furthermore, the vaccine. Yeah.
So just to make it real clear, they told us, the stakeholders told us that the vaccine stayed in the skeletal muscle. They knew from the Schladlich study in 2012 that it didn't, and that it was concentrated in the ovary. Dr. Lee Merritt did an incredible job of summarizing the Pfizer biodistribution data from Japan. I choose to look at Dr. Merritt from T0, instead of comparing it to a reference muscle, the skeletal muscle. If you look at comparison at T0 of injection, time zero of the injection and the absorption in the ovary to T plus 48 hours, it's 118-fold concentration. The absorption at T0 was 0.12. Wow. The absorption at 48 hours is 12 plus. That's 118-fold concentration. Now, it's not that I don't care about guys, gametes, and sperm, but I focus on women. And in the woman, they only have 1 million ovaries, and those are present 10 weeks before birth. And if you're getting 118-fold concentration of every female fetus and every female with ovaries and ovum, they all get massively contaminated. This could end the human race. Now, I'm not trying to be sensational, but it could. And they should have excluded this and studied it with at least a 10-year follow-up before rolling this out.
Well, let me go ahead and read the rest of what they say. That's very interesting, Dr. Thorpe. They go on to say, furthermore, the vaccine code for the spike has been mutated slightly so that it stays in its pre-infection state. It can't change shape to bind with another cell's ACE2 receptor. This should make it even less likely to cause damage. This applies to the Moderna, Pfizer RNA vaccines, as well as to the J&J and Novavax vaccines, but not to the AstraZeneca. Also, the cells concerned are mainly stuck in the thick deltoid muscle of the shoulder, away from the larger blood vessels. Some of the cells will reach the lymphatic system, but this is a good thing. This is a major part of developing an immune system. In reality, you should be far more concerned about spike proteins on the fast multiplying viruses, which actually infect the lungs first. From there, the spike proteins can damage lung tissue and blood vessels. The best way to stop this is to train the adaptive immune system to destroy anything bearing a spike protein, i.e., get one of the vaccines. Guys?
So many lies, so little time. You know, that, you know, I got to tell you, people don't like to deal with this issue, but I'm just going to say the reason that they're able to get away with this lie, partially, I believe, it's a big one, is this whole idea that life is about us breathing out these little invisible animalcules that we call viruses. And they, if you look at, I'm sorry, if you look at the way they've proven that this happens, it just doesn't work right. And I've been spending 2-3 weeks here of my life just doing nothing but looking at the pandemic of 1918. And, you know, it isn't all about genetic sequencing. This whole rigmarole, they don't know what's in this vaccine. We don't know what's in this vaccine. And quite frankly, these ministers don't know, because what they tell us can't really be there the way that they're saying it. But the people that really have looked at this, it isn't just about little genetic sequences. You've got to step back and take the big picture. And, you know, we think we believe in transmission of flu, but, you know, in 1918, and this is, I have some affinity for this for having studied the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology and these guys, but, you know, they went out and they tried to prove the 1918 pandemic, and they couldn't do it. You know, they had 118 in Boston, they had 118 volunteers. Well, they were probably prisoners, but they were theoretically volunteers. And they had them literally put their face down over sick, dying people and have them be breathing on them. This idea, I'm commenting on their point about you're more dangerous from the virus. They had these people breathing on them, and they could not transmit the disease. They swabbed the nose from these sick and dying flu victims, and they swabbed out lung goo and lung stuff and nose stuff, and they put them in the nose of volunteers. They couldn't make them sick. They literally spun down in the age before antibiotics. They literally spun down this stuff from the mouth and nose of sick and dying people and injected it into these young volunteers, and they couldn't make, out of 118 volunteers, zero got the disease. So if we think we understand this whole ball of wax, we don't. And that says something there for God's immunity, and they don't seem to trust it very much.
Look at their bullet points, and their summary is many diseases have been eliminated or drastically reduced by vaccines. There's no plausible alternative explanation for why particular diseases decrease so drastically at different times that correlate to when the particular vaccine became widespread. Further, the same diseases flare up in places with low vaccination rates, and such results are totally expected given what we know of how immunity works. Anyone want to comment on that one?
They don't know how immunity works at all. I mean, the vaccines are for, typically they're for diseases and viruses that come from animals. Animals, viruses do not jump to humans naturally. It's never happened. They're made in a lab. So the vaccines often cause the virus, and that's the case here with SARS-CoV-2. It's from a bat. God did not make our immune system, as Dr. Lee Merritt said, to actually be infected from viruses that have genetic material from other species, whether it's bats, monkeys, chickens, or whatever. You have to use technology to inoculate a human being and to penetrate and get into our blood system to actually make us ill. But it's very difficult for a human who has been infected with a non-human virus to affect another human being, because God did not make us that way, period. And I question the validity, the integrity of these quote-unquote pastors. Do they not understand God's creation? They claim that they do. And did they not read Leviticus, where it clearly states that, you know, animals are not supposed to breed with other animals, but you're not even supposed to put the same seed, different seeds, into the same soil for crossbreeding, right? Because that's man playing God. So if we stay intact and walk away from these vaccines, we will not be infected with a virus that came from the animal. The only way we would be infected is if a virus that was made from an animal to then infect humans was made in a lab and then released on us using bioweapon technology through something we eat, drink, aerosol, or something you put on your skin. That's
wow.
It.
Excellent. Dr. Thorpe, by the way, I'm going to have you guys all give your websites here in just a second. Dr. Thorpe, so folks get a pen and paper to take down all their great websites. Dr. Thorpe sent me this little video. I want to warn the guys in the control room. Watch this little bit of video clip here real quick. Here we go.
Humans across the globe are becoming increasingly less fertile. The worldwide fertility rate dropped by nearly 60%.
The lowest number of recorded births in 30 years.
Fertility rates have hit a record low.
The baby bust.
Why are the rates lower?
What's happening here?
Your body's designed to do something. When you're told that you can't. If I ever had to say to my daughter that she won't be able to have children, it would be devastating.
Since women stopped being able to have babies, what's left to hope for?
When I heard about this story from East Africa about fertility, I thought to myself, that's me.
As a gynecologist, in the last few years, we have seen a dramatic increase in the number of women who are losing pregnancies, the number of women who are presenting with threatened abortion, with bleeding in early pregnancy. We're also seeing a lot of young couples with infertility.
Infertility is one of the most major problems now in gynecology in Africa.
I have seen the tears. They have lost their identity. You die inside.
The ultimate mystery, why are women infertile?
All right, let's stop right there. People can watch more of that. But Dr. Thorpe, what is the lesson there? Is this where Bill Gates and those guys were going in and giving all these vaccines?
Yes. And I was never an anti-vaxxer. And I apologize. I made a mistake. I pushed a lot of vaccines. But I was never in favor of Bobby Kennedy Jr. Because I really didn't believe some of the stuff that I was taught differently in medical school. I apologize for that. But I've done a complete change about face. I vetted this. I've watched it four times. I fact-checked it. I will vouch for the veracity of everything in this movie.
But you know what? You know what they're going to do? Because they do it in their document. They're going to say, oh, wait a minute. That film was done by Andy Wakefield. Andy Wakefield discredited, what did they say, lost his medical license. They start attacking Andy Wakefield. Well, here's what I say. Attack him all you want. Refute the OBGYNs and refute the doctors instead of going after him. Because that film, I saw his name pop up. Here they say, vaccine caused autism. This is a very common claim, infamously promulgated by former Playboy model Jenny McCarthy, who claimed that her son became autistic after being vaccinated. It also gained some credibility with a study published in Lancet by British doctor Andrew Wakefield. Later, he was held guilty of ethical violations. They conducted invasive investigations on children without obtaining the necessary ethical clearances and scientific misrepresentation. They reported that their sampling was consecutive when, in fact, it was selective. Lance retracted the study in February 2010. So they can go after Mr. Wakefield all they want, but refute the doctors, refute the mothers, refute the OBGYNs, right, Dr. Thorpe?
You all to pull up Megyn Kelly on whatever show she's on now, and she interviews Bobby Kennedy, who now I couldn't really relate with too well, but now he's like my hero. He really is. This guy's a hero. And Megyn Kelly tries to shoot him down. I mean, he just totally slammed her because he goes back to 1965 showing tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of pharma research going in to develop in the tetanus vaccine to in experiment in our poor African children. And they rendered millions of them infertile. And what they did was with the tetanus toxoid vaccine, they covalently bonded HCG, which is a hormone that supports and maintains pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So it became those that got injected with that vaccine, and they lied about it. They didn't tell them what was in the content. They lied about it, and they developed autoimmune antibodies towards HCG. So whenever they became pregnant, they would either lose the baby or miscarry early on or have a severely damaged baby. This is horrible. This is what we did. I will vouch for the veracity of every fact in that movie of Andy Wakefield.
Let's talk about something else they say in here, guys. I don't know who wants to take this one, but they go on to really claim that there's no connection between autism and the shots. In contrast to Wakefield, study after study has shown no link between vaccination and autism. The U.S. National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine published a study in 2004 which summarized, quote, "Thus, based on this body of evidence, the committee concludes that evidence favors rejection of a causal relationship between the thimerosal-containing vaccines and autism," end quote. Didn't the CDC bury the facts for 10 years until a whistleblower came out that they knew it was causing autism in boys, particularly black boys?
Yeah. The guy finally broke the silence and came out. We had, when I was, I think I was president of AAPS at the time, but sometime, and Andy Wakefield came and talked to us. And by the way, he's a very smart academic physician. This guy was not some scurrilous guy at the bottom of his class. He was a, he's a really, really smart guy. And he only published what got him into trouble was a simple thing. He's not a neurologist. He's a gastroenterologist, and he published a study on like a series of patients who were given the MMR and then had all these abdominal complaints. That's how he got them. But the parents also told them he had, these kids had neurologic and developmental changes after this. Well, it turns out he caught the British government with their pants down. I mean, they had bought this MMR vaccine like on a fire sale because it had been taken off the market in North America and I think Australia because it gave kids aseptic meningitis. And they had got caught in court because they brought forth the transcript on one of the purchase meetings they had over this, and some doctor at the National Health Service was quoted in this as saying, "Well, aseptic meningitis isn't really too bad. It's usually not too bad." You know, I mean, we have to wake up and realize peer-reviewed literature. It's really the Politburo running your medical evidence. The idea of peer-reviewed literature doesn't make it work better. It makes it work worse. And I have to tell you, who would after this episode about the Lancet study and the and I like what Dr. Thorpe calls it, the Journal of Irreproducible Results, which actually was a pretty good journal and more truthful, but they actually got caught not only falsifying data to show that hydroxychloroquine didn't work, New England Journal and the Lancet, but the whole data set didn't exist. It was a storefront run by, they said it was a science fiction writer and they had data gatherers. No, it was a science writer. It was a science fiction writer and a former adult content model. You can translate that how you will. Yeah. That's who ran this fly by night, you know, storefront fake business that gave them the data set. You can't make this up. Who's going to try? How can you, who would put their children's life and their fertility on that kind of people that are running this? I mean, if it's just, I don't even want to buy toothpaste from the pharmaceutical companies anymore, and nor should you.
Well, and they also, in another article, they linked to an ivermectin. They seem to go after ivermectin. It's the same story with ivermectin. Ivermectin is extremely important medicine to fight nematoids, roundworms such as blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, many studies have been marred by poor quality and even fakery, but not all. One study claimed it reduced the average disease duration from 13 to 8 days, but why be sick even 8 days when you can get a shot? Don't do ivermectin. Get the shot. Boy, these guys are really pushing the shot. Creation.com, a ministry we used to promote, we now no longer promote. We do not recommend them. I personally am denouncing them tonight. Here's another thing in here, guys, in their summary. Vaccines are accused of containing dangerous poison, but whether anything is poisonous depends on the amount. The toxic substances in vaccines are many times lower than the toxic dose. Some of the toxins exist naturally in the body in far greater amounts than the vaccines. Others occur in much higher amounts in well-known foods. Anyone want to take that one before we bring in pastor and attorney Andy Woods?
Well, I mean, the vaccines contain polyethylene glycol, which is a petroleum-based product that's not to be used in humans. And if you ask Dr. Stephanie Seneff, she'll cite the humanized pig studies where on the second dose, they have up to a 20% chance of anaphylaxis, myocarditis, and pericarditis because of the allergic reaction to petroleum in the body. And there was also another study she cited and healthcare workers who had the injection, where they did have 20% reaction of myocarditis, pericarditis from the polyethylene glycol. You can also look at the pre-human or studies of the mice, where they just exposed the mice to the LNPs, which contain the polyethylene glycol, and 80% of the mice died within 24 hours. You can call that study "All the Mice Die." So they're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. There are products in these vaccines that are never meant to be injected in humans. And these are the only product that I'm citing right now are the ones that we know of that are in the labeling. There's many products that we are unaware of, but there seems to be electron microscope evidence that there's things like graphene oxide in these products as well.
And by the way, they haven't read anything. Just so you know, I'm having to bump Jeff Bauer. He graciously agreed, the county commissioner in Florida, who we want to use as an example for around the country. We didn't want to shortcut him his time short, so he'll be joining me at 8 p.m. Central Time on Monday night. I've already written it down in my book. I'll have Matt Staver with me from the Liberty Council, who had a huge victory, a multimillion-dollar lawsuit against a group because they were forcing them to take the shot and not acknowledging their religious exemption. That story's breaking now. He'll be with me 7:30 Monday night Central. Then 8 p.m. Jeff Bauer will join me. Let me go to this, and we got to go to Dr. Woods with you guys. Doctor, you guys all stay here. Vaccines cannot cause disease since they're made from non-infectious biological entities. Really? So vaccines can't cause disease, huh? Dr. Thorpe?
False. Vaccines cause a massive amount of disease, and they do cause emergent, immediate effects in toddlers and children and adults. We call causality, there's a lot of different ways we can identify that, but there are a set of criteria, epidemiological criteria, called the Bradford Hill criteria. Listen, that 5-month-old baby, toddler, that was beautiful, thriving, growing, and breastfeeding, the hospital forced a nurse to get a vaccine. She got the vaccine the next time at the breast, the day after. The baby rapidly got fussy, rapidly died within 24 hours. That meets all of the Bradford Hill criteria. Within 24 hours of breastfeeding after a vaccination, the baby's dead 48 hours later.
Wow, look
starts
at this.
Breastfeeding the day after. Meets Bradford Hill criteria, and so does the severe cases of autism that I've seen in these young, beautiful parents. When you sit down and you talk to them and you receive what they say, those meet the Bradford Hill criteria. I've talked to way too many, and that's one of the other reasons why I did an academic metanoia.
Wow. And then they're going to say vaccines do not have parts of aborted babies. True, some vaccines against viral diseases are cultured on cell lines from two babies aborted over 40 years ago, but no babies are being aborted today to make vaccines. Morally, it would be better to use alternative if available, but if not, it would be no different from using organs of a person killed by sinful means, as long as the beneficiary played no part in the killing. Really? So I guess if you have a lamp made by people's skin from Auschwitz, as long as you didn't do it, it's okay to turn that lamp on and have it at your house? Give me a break. What about Fauci and all these guys behind this that were supposedly, correct me if I'm wrong, harvesting the scalps of babies to grow hair on rats? Does anyone want to correct me? Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, this is evil beyond what people can conceive. And again, that's kind of an old religion philosophy that it's okay to lie in certain circumstances like that. But, you know, this whole thing, they can't know what's in there. And we're finding out all sorts of bad things that are in there beyond our wildest dreams. I mean, you know, the issue of CRISPR-Cas9 being in there. Todd Callender, who's a lawyer that's defended a bunch of the military, was given an anonymous genetic paper. Okay, now this is done by big people. I don't know, and I don't want to get him in trouble, but he just passed it on. It's not signed. We don't know who it's from, but it has the ring of truth. I mean, these guys took what Pfizer and maybe Karen knows a lot more about this than I do, but these guys, whoever they are, they took the genetic sequence that Pfizer and WHO put out as the sequence that's producing the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein in the vaccine, okay, for the BioNTech insert. And quite frankly, it can't be doing what they're saying. They compared the base-by-base sequence to known things in the all these different genetic banks, all these different resources. And for example, when you when you transcribe the protein into the spike protein, it's got to be a long, what they call an open reading frame. You have a start codon. It's like a sentence. You have a capital letter at the first and you have a period at the end. But they found all through the middle of this, there were capital letters and little periods all through the middle of it. So it appears that this is a Trojan horse that has things in it we have no clue about. And they did find in the middle of it like little there were 13 smaller open reading frames within the big reading frame, and they contain things like a segment of mutant measles virus, hypothetical proteins, proteins that don't exist in nature, just exist on a cartoon and on a computer. And the and one of them that's really creepy is gRNA or guided RNA, which is what's used to take CRISPR to the target. And the target apparently was, I don't know, gene 8 and gene 5. I can't remember which one. There were two different genomes or two different genes that they were targeting. It looks like this is really, really a bad targeted deal. Wow. And it doesn't look like it's anything like what they're saying. So because they're going to – all you need to know is they're trying to hide the data for 75 years. Why would you need to do that?
Yeah, exactly. You guys all stay right there. Dr. Woods, I want to bring Dr. Woods in real quick. As an attorney and a pastor and a seminary president, Dr. Woods, I know, by the way, Dr. Thorpe is a big fan of yours. He's texted me tonight. I didn't know he knew who you were, but he says he's a big fan of yours. As a pastor, as an attorney, as a seminary president, how concerned are you that this group creation.com is out there pushing these vax like they are, and anti-vaxxers this and anti-vaxxers that? These two medical doctors and an expert who used to work at Pfizer, Karen Kingston, are here tonight just showing how they're putting out misinformation to And what bothers me is it undermines the message of the other things they're doing that are very credible. If I can't trust them on this, why should I trust them on another stuff? And I want you to trust them on some other stuff. But this is a real problem. Speak to it as a pastor, an attorney, and a seminary president.
Well, one of the guys, it's sort of heartbreaking because I'm a fan of his. In fact, behind me, you might even be able to see it. I've got his commentary on the book of Genesis, which is excellent. So he's done wonderful work in other areas, and because he's venturing out into this area, he's discrediting himself. And if he's wrong there, he could be wrong somewhere else. But let me just put it this way, Brandon. As a pastor, over the last 2 years, I've written countless vaccine exemptions for people, and I do it with a very clean and a clear conscience on the grounds that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, clearly says, concerning the Christian, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it's incumbent upon us to be a good steward of the things that go into the body. And so how in the world can either a business or the government force people to take something into their body that could be damaging to them, you know, as your very erudite panel there has explained. And beyond that, I have no problem writing religious exemption letters for people because the Bible is pro-life. Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, God said, two nations, you know, are in your womb. And so, if what is in the vaccine or what the vaccine supposedly causes is a damage to an unborn child, then obviously you deserve a religious exemption for that. And so when these guys at this ministry you're talking about, you know, quote the Bible and argue that somehow they're defending the Bible and our position is undercutting the Bible, I never find any legitimate interaction with those points that I just made. The stewardship of the body issue and the pro-life issue. And if we're going to quote the Bible to take a side on a controversial issue, you know, let's quote the whole Bible. And that's why I continue to write, you know, countless vaccine exemption letters for people with a very clean and a very clear conscience.
Well, and I know, and I sure appreciate that Dr. Woods, and I knew where these guys were standing. And I didn't agree with them, but I didn't go after them. It wasn't until yesterday that he, Gary Bates, who helps run this Christian ministry, Christian or creation.com, was supposed to be on Alex Newman's show, heard Alex talking about the VAERS data and whatnot, and then bolted. It wouldn't go on, and then sends this horrible email to us. I mean, I responded pretty tough to him because I felt like the way he was acting was wrong and what he said to our control room. And then, of course, you ought to read the emails that he sent to Alex and I that we're all some kind of right-wingers and we should be ashamed of ourselves and blah, blah, blah. Well, we're not the ones putting out misinformation. Everything we've been putting out, we bring on medical doctor after medical doctor after medical doctor and an expert like Karen Kingston. I mean, I dare these guys. I dare Gary Bates and his buddies over there to come on here. You all come over here and debate the three I had on, and I'll just sit here and moderate, make sure everybody gets equal time. These guys will chew you up because they know the facts, and you guys clearly don't. Closing comment by each of you guys. Go. Let's start with you, Dr. Lee Merritt.
No. Well, I, you know, again, this isn't just, you can't beat these guys with data because somebody's putting words in their mouth. Yeah. These guys could not have come, you know, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I can't think that they could have come up with this on their own. Somebody's pushing this through them, and I think they need to wake up to that and hopefully repent. Yeah. I'll have to learn your term there.
Metanoia. Metanoia. Greek word for repentance, right, Dr. Metanoia. Woods? Metanoia. Yeah. Dr. Thorpe's been using it all night. Dr. Thorpe's been using it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It means change of mind, and I've heard other people using it, and so I feel I'm with the right crowd here tonight.
Absolutely you are. Dr. Merritt, we've had your website on the screen, but say it so people can hear it when we play this as a radio show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, it's three words, themedicalrebel.com.
Themedicalrebel.com. All right, yeah. Closing comment, Karen?
I think people just need to recognize, including these pastors and scientists that wrote this article, is that we've been deeply, deeply betrayed and we've been lied to. And you know, they're not recognizing the evil in the world. And they're not, again, the Apostle Paul says, you know, when it comes to evil, your understanding should be that of an adult. And that's what's happening right now. And these people that are manipulating these scientists and these pastors, they're telling them what they want to hear. They're giving them what they want so that they do what these evildoers want. When a child predator approaches a child, they don't say they're going to hurt them, they offer them candy. When a human predator approaches an adult, he doesn't say, my intention is to hurt your congregation, he offers him money and a script. That's what's happened. And wow. I wish they would wake up.
Dr. Thorpe?
I don't have a website. I'm seeing 8,000 high-risk OBs a year. I do have a email. It's jathorp@bellsouth.net. And if you're a woman of reproductive age and you've been injured by a vaccine in or out of pregnancy, please contact me.
Give it again. Give it again.
jathorp@bellsouth.net. To my physician colleagues out there and my pastor colleagues out there, I love you all and I respect you all. I respect your opinions. But you need to come to grips with the data. The science is in the avalanche of epidemiological data. There's 25 other sources, never mind Pfizer themselves. Do your academic metanoia now. Put your academic crown on your head. Admit you're wrong and back off, because otherwise the American people, just like the Austrian people and the German people and multiple other countries, they're coming after you because you, doctors, did not honor your Hippocratic oath. You honored your hypocritic oath, and you honored your paycheck instead of your oath to God. And unless you do an about face, you have a lot of blood on your hands. You too, pastors, if you're pushing this.
Absolutely. Karen, what is your website, Karen?
I don't really have one. You can follow me on Getter. Or you can follow me on Truth Social. I'm working on one right now again.
All right. And Dr. Woods, you're AndyWoodsMinistries.org, AndyWoodsMinistries.org. By the way, Dr. Woods, Dr. Lee Merritt, Karen Kingston will all be keynote speakers at my Ozarks Worldview Weekend coming up the middle of October. I really should probably, I know it's late in the game, but maybe I should just slip in Dr. Thorpe at the last minute even. But these three for sure are confirmed. The middle of October, Lake of the Ozarks, full details for my 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Closing comment from you, Dr. Woods.
Well, I would just say that not everybody who quotes the Bible is speaking for God. you know, we have some clear examples in the scripture itself of the devil. You'll find it in Luke 4, you know, verses 9 through 11, quoting the scripture. And he's taking Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, totally out of context. And so one of Satan's greatest deceptions is to take an Antichrist agenda and get useful idiots, if I can use that term, to put a Christian or biblical veneer on it. And a lot of people are deceived by that because they're quoting the Bible, and this is a Christian ministry. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody who quotes the Bible is quoting it accurately. And if you're in some kind of religious organization or Christian ministry or church, where they're trying to use the Bible to tell you you've got some kind of Christian obligation to get the experimental drug or the vaccine or whatever you want to call it, you're dealing with people that are abusing the Bible on the basis of the pro-life issue and the fact that we're bodily stewards. You have no obligation to take that vaccine.
Wow. What a show. Thank you to all of you. The comment section has been going crazy all night. People love you guys. We love you guys. Thank you for giving your Friday night to us, folks. An hour and a half. Amazing. We'll get Thanks. This to replay. We'll have this replay. We're live now, but as we go off the air, we'll have this replay several times over the weekend. And then I'll post it by tomorrow at WVWTV.com for you to share. WVWTV.com and frankspeech.com. Folks, an hour and a half. We didn't stop for spots or commercials. So I'm just going to say it. We're listener supported. The bandwidth, the streaming, the time, the control room, all the guys. We're listener supported. If you appreciate what we just did the last 90 minutes, we vitally need your support. Will you please do two things? MyPillow.com, promo code B66. You can also support us at WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. Take care.